Cultural critic Cynthra Wilson is appalled by America's obsession with fame. According to Wilson, celebrity is nothing more than a grotesque, crippling disease. It's also the subject of her book, A Massive Swelling. Steve Paulson asked her if the September 11th terrorist attacks would dampen enthusiasm for celebrity culture.
People were sort of really quick to say that on one hand, and then on the other hand, there was all these, you know, this immediate rash of news stories about how did this attack affect the celebrities and what are the celebrities feeling right now? And I felt like there was a real urge on the part of the media to drag celebrities into it in any way that they could. And I felt that many media services were probably secretly a little disappointed that the celebrities weren't a little more damaged in the attacks.
I remember hearing some comments that this meant the death of celebrity culture, that we'd never be able to kind of laugh and just yuck it up again after the tragedy.
I think everybody thinks that for a few days, but, you know, it's already starting to come back. I mean, we had that monstrous telethon that, you know, every other station that didn't show the telethon had this FCC sort of dark box on because you weren't allowed to not show the telethon. I mean, I think that there's been a lot of lip service paid to, yes, celebrity is no longer very important because now we know what real life is, but yet we are still clinging to celebrities as hard as ever because they are how we learn how to deal with things emotionally. I mean, movie stars are the only people who have dealt with enormous explosions and buildings falling down. And so, you know, we turn to Marky Mark and we look to him for emotional cues on how to react to this disaster. Because he's dealt with it.
Now, one thing that we've heard is that the zealots, apparently responsible for the terrorist attacks, really hate our popular culture and the stuff that we export around the world. And I guess I'm wondering if you—I know you've lived in L.A. If you think the movie executives and the stars in Hollywood are suffering any pangs of guilt for what they've done over the years.
Of course not. I mean, I don't think so. I mean, we have always manufactured these images through which we live vicariously in terms of movies and things. I mean, what I think we might see a rash of now, my mother and I were talking about this. She thinks that there's going to be this rash of Westerns now all of a sudden. Like, you know, now for a long time we've had these sort of cuddly anti-heroes who are sort of morally impure, but you like them anyway because they're sort of funny and they are nice to dogs or something. And there's been this real dearth of John Wayne type heroes where you ride in on the white horse and you're actually really macho and brave and things like that. So I think that we're going to see more John Wayne-esque Western-style things. And then on TV, I think what you're going to see is probably a return to these Little House on the Prairie-style formats where you see a little family bravely coping on the plains from the attacks of engines or, you know, whatever. It'll be politically incorrect. So, I mean, something politically correct, but along those lines. And it's going to be the same story, except now there's going to be a return to real heroism as opposed to anti-heroism.
Well, let me step back from the events of September 11th and just ask you some about our obsession with celebrity. And I suppose that just about everyone has fantasized about becoming really famous at one time or another. Why do we want it so badly?
I think that in the United States, it before the attacks, and now we're all kind of thinking about things differently, but my contention was before that really celebrity or fame was the only thing that could redeem your human life. I mean, no matter what career you had, pretty much. I mean, if you were on TV, then you were really a success. If you were a household name, I mean, I think your mother even loves you more if you're famous in the United States. And so, you know, it's the only thing that can truly avenge you from all of your, like, ex-girlfriends and the people who tormented you in high school is to have a billboard of yourself somewhere.
What do you think this culture of celebrity does to the rest of us who aren't famous? Do you think we suffer for it?
Oh, absolutely. I think that most people are a little bit miserable all the time. Like, they have sort of a low-grade flu because they're not famous. It's a resentment that we all feel. Because really, we're supposed to live vicariously through this handful of, like, I like to say it's a deck, like a deck of cards. Like, the deck of celebrity has 52 heads, and they just kind of get shuffled and reshuffled, and, like, a different five end up on the top. They're on the cover of every magazine in the world for a while. And then they go back to the bottom of the deck, and a few you haven't seen in a few months come back to the top of the deck. But So, you know, say there's 52 people in the world who get all the love and the clothes and the admiration and the fun and the award ceremonies and, you know, attention. Everybody wants that much attention and love, and everybody probably deserves it, you know, but only 52 people get it.
Now, one of the scariest things to me is the extent to which some people chase after celebrities. And you write about some of these people. For instance, the girls and even the older women who just fall in love with groups like New Kids on the Block.
Oh, it's creepy.
Tell me about some of the mail that you've seen.
I devoted a whole chapter to this box of fan mail that a friend of mine gave me. Like, this fan mail distributing service moved out of his apartment, and then he moved in, and there was this box they left behind. So he gave it to me, and it was all these letters to New Kids on the Block. And some of them were, like, from these moms, you know, like these clearly like 42-year-old moms to like Donnie Wahlberg saying, "Oh, Donnie, you're so fine. I've lost 126 pounds now, and I really think if you could see me that I could be the one for you. And my daughter, Shannon, you know, she really loves you too, but I keep telling her that she should really fall in love with Jordan because Jordan's more her age." And, you know, just these really weird, demented things where, like, the entire family has this obsessive crush on New Kids on the Block, and they fight over which one is more fine at the breakfast table, and, you know, mom is more vocal than anybody. And
you read these letters, and they seem to be serious.
Oh, yeah, they're really serious. And, I mean, famous people become this sort of focal point for people who have nothing particularly going on in their lives to really cling to. And sometimes it just gets into this, like, demonically weird way. I mean, everybody who is famous, I think, gets really disturbing, creepy fan letters that, you know, their handlers or managers have to keep away from them. But it's a big part of the demographic. I figure probably like a tenth of fan letters are probably extremely unhealthy.
And then something peculiar happens to some of these celebrities, and I suppose Michael Jackson is the obvious
case. Poor Michael Jackson. Yeah, I mean, I like to say about Michael Jackson that the X-ray eye of fame really stared him crispy. I mean, he's such an interesting case only because he represents sort of like the best and the worst of fame, or like a really vivid example of what being famous your entire life can do to you if you're not an extremely stable person to begin with, because he was such a totally brilliant child. I mean, just an incredible performer and so much life and so much joy. And then now it's like he's really defaced himself, both sort of literally and figuratively.
You have written quite a withering account of what goes on at the Academy Awards. And I'm wondering what you see when you watch this event.
Oh, God. It's almost like this terrible fascist propaganda ceremony to me. It sort of looks like a big fascist rally of some kind. I mean, I feel like the rest of America is totally enslaved and subordinated to the entertainment industry, and we're already like these sort of serfs looking through the window of the palace, you know, from the vantage point of like the snow and the hunger and the cold and all these like sort of gleaming golden people dancing inside.
But we all laugh at them. I mean, it's not as if we're taking it seriously.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, like, maybe not on the coasts. You know, we're sophisticated people, and we don't take it very seriously. But I think a lot of people get, you know, really excited about the Oscars and really want to see what Gwyneth is wearing and things. And I resent it. It makes me feel like a slave. You will watch the Hollywood Awards ceremony now.
So what don't you like about it? It's so over the top, or these people are taking themselves so seriously?
Oh, it's this terrible, unregenerate orgy of self-congratulation that sort of rattles my every last nerve. I mean, these people already have everything, and then they get to sort of, like, suck up to each other and overwhelm themselves with, like, how wonderful they think each other are for a whole night. And then we have to watch that as if it doesn't go on at every party that they have anyway. It's more of the same party that we don't get to be at.
And the fashions may change from one year to the next, but in a lot of ways, all the ceremonies are exactly the same. There's Jack Nicholson sitting in the front row or the second row with that same leer, and Warren Beatty's lurking somewhere around, and there's just this weird sameness.
You know how there's this giant squid at the Museum of Natural History? Like, they found this giant frozen baby squid, and they built this tank for it that's filled with grain alcohol. It's like this 8-foot glass tank. And I always think that that's probably what they keep Jack Nicholson in, like, you know, 11 months out of the year. And then they pull him up, you know, with a crane, and then they iron the tuxedo right onto his body, and then they lower him down into that aisle seat at the Oscars every year. And he's just, you know, perfectly pickled for that occasion.
Now, you're kind of famous in your own way. Now you've written this book,
not.
A Massive Swelling. You know, isn't that partly why people write books? So they get accolades and get their name out in print and all of that?
Dude, one does not get famous by writing a book of nonfiction essays, which is buried down in the, like, the lower right corner of the cultural studies bookshelf in your nearby Barnes & Noble. Sadly, I hate to tell you, I'm still struggling.
But if it happened that your book ended up on the bestseller list or the next one that you write, you wouldn't object, would you?
To fame? Certainly
right.
Not. No, I mean, like, I think I'd probably be really an atrocious and horrible celebrity, like, comparable to the worst celebrities that I threaten and jolly and assail. So, yeah, I mean, none of us are immune. Basically, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely, and if you're famous, you're just going to turn into a wanker at some point.
Cindra Wilson, speaking with Steve Paulson about her book, A Massive Swelling.